Hello, Dexter parents. This is Amy Lamb, a fellow parent here in Dexter, joining you today in more of my professional role. For those of you who generally only see me on the sidelines of sporting events or who I haven't had the pleasure to meet yet, I'm an occupational therapist, currently serving as the president of the American Occupational Therapy Association and an associate professor of occupational therapy at Eastern Michigan University. As a parent and in my professional world, we are seeing more and more of the struggles that our teens today are facing. About 8 months ago, I met with the district administration and mental health staff to help identify ways to support some of the struggles we see kids in the community facing around mental health. One of the trigger points identified was the stress and anxiety that can emerge in teens as they're transitioning from middle to high school. I worked with my graduate students at Eastern Michigan University to develop a program that we piloted this past month using motivational interviewing techniques to support students in developing skills and strategies around things like time management and managing distractions, homework and project tracking, stress management, and self-advocacy skill development. As a parent of teens, I know that many of you are trying to help your kids develop these skills as well. As we were working to create the pilot program, we felt like we needed to give you as parents some resources and information too. Let's face it, parenting teens is not an easy task. This is the first of a podcast series we're calling It's a Journey, because let's face it, being a parent is a journey, and while there are lots of resources for the earlier years, the teen years seem to be a fend for yourself kind of time. Our hope is that these podcasts help in some way to maybe help you better understand what makes your teen tick, strategies and ideas that you might be able to use to support them, and just to make the journey feel a little less lonely. This first podcast is geared towards understanding our teens' generation. Generations are really about cultural change, and by studying them, we understand a bit more about who they are and what it's like to grow up in a particular generation and how they interact with the world around them. Oftentimes, the research is centered around preparing for our workforce for the generation to enter it. There's great information out there, and I think it's also valuable for us as parents to be able to learn more about it, to understand our teens a bit more. So Generation Z is also known as iGen or digital natives, are the majority of our kids, those who were born between 1995 and 2012. Interestingly, 1995 just happens to be the year that the internet was commercialized. As we all know, Generation Z does not know a life without the modern-day internet. They use it for everything from research, communication, education, and entertainment. So if you've seen your teen sitting next to a friend in the back seat of the car and texting each other, you're not alone and you're also not seeing things. Yes, while we might have just had a verbal conversation with a friend that we're sitting next to, growing up, the digital natives, their world is anchored in technology, so it's very natural for them to continue to use that kind of level of communication even when they're in close proximity to each other. Generation Z talks about not really liking what they see in the world. They've never known a life before the 9/11 attacks on the United States. They are aware of the recession of 2008 and what their family experienced during that time. They're currently living through discussions about student loan debt, and they worry about financial debt. They don't necessarily see that things are being taken care of for them or that they have the faith that people are going to do the right things. So this generation takes that realistic approach to this, and they really want to make a change. So we're seeing more and more in this generation kids are becoming active and involved with trying to change social issues. Generation Z is by and large quite entrepreneurial, and so while they are worried about their future prospects, they believe that they have the ability to be able to own their own future. So they dream of becoming entrepreneurs and having their own business, not answering to a boss. They don't necessarily plan on becoming millionaires or billionaires by the time that they're 30, but they do dream of inventing an app that allows them to potentially graduate from college without debt. They are, as we've already talked about, quite technologically dependent. So they collaborate by Google Docs. So when we were all, you know, copying notes down and learning how to write in cursive, they have learned in the Google Doc world. So they're very interactive with how they collaborate. They're naturals in social media, texting, and chat rooms. And so while they really crave these forums, sometimes it's worked for them and sometimes it hasn't. How have they made technology work for them? They've learned how to do tasks at any time, and so they're not really limited by places. So in school, a Gen Zer will create a document on their laptop. They'll reopen it on their smartphone while they're on the bus on the way to a game, and then they revisit it at home later on when they're finishing up for the evening. They can shift from work and play, real and virtual, in very short, intense spurts, which is something that's different than the other generations that we have. So as we think about what Gen Z is going to look like when they enter the workforce, they saw their parents struggling with this idea of work-life balance, and they don't think it's real. So their goal is to look for more of that work-life blend and using technology to be able to make that happen for them. Our Gen Zers have grown up on social media. Even before they were able to post, their parents were oftentimes posting pictures of them and information about them. So they're very accustomed to social media. However, they really want it to be a little different. So they like things that doesn't have the digital thumbprint because they've heard about how that could impact them in the future. So Gen Z uses Snapchat more than something like Facebook because the content in their mind doesn't stay on social media as long, and they think that people won't be able to find it. However, we all know that the technologies will change and people have the ability to find just about anything that exists on the internet at any point in time. We talked a little bit about how Gen Zers are more entrepreneurial. So 75% of Gen Zers say that there are other ways to get a good education other than going to college, and they want to explore what other alternatives are out there. They pursue things like on-demand learning solutions. They like YouTube. They could be called the YouTube generation because they learn very much through videos and tutorials. And they're going to seek employers that offer that kind of on-the-job and developmental training. They really see the world as their classroom. So it's important for us also to think about some of the learning styles and learning preferences that are consistent amongst the Gen Z group as well. By and large, the majority of them say that they prefer hands-on learning experiences. They like to engage in a hands-on opportunity where they can immediately apply what they have just learned to real life. Sometimes they're described as observers. They'd like to see someone perform the task and then be able to try it out themselves, hence that YouTube thing, right? They like to be able to see it and then be able to do the hands-on so that they can apply it and see how it works for them. They are able to do their own research into things with the use of technology, and they look things up very quickly on the internet. Google is probably one of their best friends. There's challenges, though, that we have to think about with that as well, because the generation has a tendency to stay pretty superficial with when they're searching things with content. They would rather just be able to type something into Google, see what pops up first, and go with that versus really trying to research to have a depth of understanding for materials. So that's something that as parents we have to be mindful of as we're making sure that they're not just looking at one thing, but maybe looking at a variety of sources to really bring that understanding together. They like to know how concepts can be applied to various situations, and they want to look at a broad application for focus. Interestingly, they prefer to learn independently rather than interpersonal learning. So technology allows them to be able to kind of customize their learning environment. So many learn via ebooks or online modules, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not good in groups. It just means that they might like to review concepts on their own before they meet with a group to really talk about how that might move forward in the real world. So how do we as parents work to really bring out the best in our teenagers? Teenagers are really looking for proof that we as parents don't understand them. So one of the best things that we can do is to simply acknowledge that their world is different from what ours was like when we were growing up, and to ask them to help us understand a bit more about what they're experiencing. Because part of that helps to kind of create that level platform where they see that we're open to hearing what their perspective is on something. Another thing that we can do is really allow them to learn in the way that they are comfortable. And so recognizing that the space in which our teens are learning is changing, and to, instead of trying to restrict that, to help them learn how to use it efficiently. So helping them to understand how to find good resources when they're searching the internet for information, and learning right alongside of them, because it helps us to be able to show and build that connection. One of the things, and I think this is the hardest one for me as a parent and probably for some of you, but it's really important that we give our teens a chance to fail. And that is just absolutely essential. Risk-taking is important. It's how we learn. Gen Zers need to make some mistakes. We, as their parents, made mistakes and learned from them. So we need to resist the urge to step in, and instead we need to maybe problem solve with our teenager how they can speak up for themselves, because we don't go to college with them, we don't go to work with them, and it's completely natural to feel very uncomfortable with that, but we do know that kids crave independence, and so we have to give them some. They're going to hit some roadblocks, they're going to have setbacks, and we have to try and help them look at those setbacks as learning opportunities. And the key is to help them not be making the same mistakes over and over again. As we come to a close, some of you may be wondering, I don't see some of these traits emerging in my teen. Remember, these are general characteristics of Generation Z, of which they are a part of. Not all of these observations or characteristics are seen in every person in a particular generation. Also, as parents of teens, we all know that it can be very challenging to figure out what is on their mind, as some may not be communicating with us as much as we would like. Thus, communication will serve as the foundation for our next topic we will explore together as a part of the It's a Journey podcast series. Thank you to everyone for listening in. I hope you gained a bit of insight in how your teen may see the world around them. Have a great rest of the day.